First Bank of Wyoming Sports Friday on Swift 98 and the Spur. At First Bank, their promise is to help neighbors be financially stronger tomorrow than they are today. Learn how at GoFirstBank.com with local branch locations in Alpine, Afton, Kemmer, and Mountain View. It's almost Cowboy football season. In fact, less than a week away from the season opener for the Cowboys, and play-by-play voice for the Pokes, Keith Kelly, joining us on Sports Friday. Keith, good morning. How are you today?
It's a great morning. I'm so happy to be with you guys again. Thank you so much for having me on. And yes, we're less than a week away. The old Thursday night Maction in Akron next week, and I can't wait for it.
Well, Keith, one of the things I wanted to start off with is listening to the show with Coach Saville on Wednesday. It's kind of still eye-opening to me, having a guy like Coach Saville directly following someone like Coach Bowl, and I really like Coach Bowl, but he was very cards to the chest. Nobody sees anything. Don't give out anything. Jay is almost the opposite, very transparent, and you've seen that even more so since the end of last season. Kind of describe that to us from your perspective as part of the media, and then also what you've seen since that surprise win over Washington up until now.
I mean, he may be the most transparent coach that Wyoming's ever had. I mean, think about the open scrimmage last Thursday for fans to come out. They called it Community Night, and it was a good showing. The open media practices that we've been able to go to, a handful of those during camp, that wouldn't have happened before, and it's just been tremendous. He wants the fans, he wants the media to see and tell stories about these players. Plus, I mean, there's 47 new players that we have to know as well. So it's just been really, really good. You know, peel back the curtain just a little bit when we do our pregame interview. It's nice just to chat with Jay and get a little information we can use for our pregame show and stuff. Obviously, you can't use it before then, but you know, it's really nice. And you know, I think between he and Sundance and Heather, Mark Branch, all the coaches over there, so willing to allow media access, fan access. I mean, Cowgirl Volleyball is doing an exhibition for the third year in a row. They're in Cheyenne this year. They're doing the free youth clinic that's full. I mean, just the access that we're getting is unlike I think it's ever been. And I think a lot of that has to do, and I know I might be going a little long here, you know, we talk name, image, and likeness, but I think that's allowed some of these student athletes to get out and about and get in front of the fans and, you know, for that purpose. And Wyoming really does that the right way. But you're exactly right. To go back to your original point, the access you get and the openness from Jay Saville is unlike anything we've really seen, to be honest with you. Maybe go back to Joe Glenn, maybe?
Yeah, I say, Joe billing up to the piano and playing the piano for the people at the fundraisers, things like that. That's actually a great example.
I think so, and you used to love that, and you know, Jay's not going to play the piano. You know, I can remember an event, was it last summer? I think the summer of 24 during Frontier Days when Jay and Sundance came over to an establishment, and Sundance got on the tabletop and was speaking to the fans in attendance. And Jay was just as lively. He's like, I'm not getting up on there though. So it was kind of funny how they handled that. They're amazing.
Well, of course, the inaugural season for Coach Saville didn't go as he had hoped last year, and heading into a second season, have you noticed any changes in approach this year compared to preseason last year, or I mean, as far as his team goes and the way he's approaching the season with his players?
Well, I think there's a couple things. I think you saw it in spring, and then during the 3 weeks of camp, they broke camp earlier this week, and that's just, and as what they say, the violence that they're bringing to practice in preparation for the season. And talking to a lot of the players, I talked to Ben Florentine earlier this week, and he said, you practice, you play how you practice, and we want to play physical. We want to be that type of team. I think that's the biggest change I've seen. And also, too, not really anointing anyone as a starter like we did. I remember, you know, when Jay Sobel, the first day he was hired, you know, Evan Svoboda was the quarterback, and there was really no competition. The competition has been really, really fierce, and I think that's what happens when you bring in 47 new guys, many of who are transfers. But I think they really did learn a lot from year one to year two, and how could you not after a three-win season? I mean, you have to kind of change some things around, but I believe those are the two things really. And look, you guys can – I think everybody can do – look at each position and break it down, like, you know, Jack Walsh, Caden Barnett, Wes King. I mean, they're going to start, right? I mean, Caden Anderson going to start. Some of the interior linemen, things like that. The Jay Mike, they're going to start. But largely, the competition, especially in the two deep, has been tremendous. I think that's one of the biggest things that I've seen, that and the physical nature with what they practice.
And I guess, you know, you look at that, the transparency, the full reflection and examination after last season, because last season was pretty miserable for most involved. Who am I telling, right? But as far as the willingness to look at what was going on with the program and say, let's fix this, I think up until now, I mean, obviously the game's still got to be played. You got to be pretty encouraged by the idea of what the coach, what Coach Savell and the program has done to this point.
I really think you're going to see an improved football team. And let's just take the last, and it's easy to cherry pick and pick the positive things, right? But let's just take the last 2.5 games of last season, the second half of the Border War. The whole game was not good, but I'm talking about the defensive side of the ball, really. They held CSU to 7 points in the second half of that game. You know, they lost. They had every opportunity to win that game. The offense just couldn't get anything going. Against Boise State, I mean, Wyoming may have played, I mean, Oregon beat Boise State, and then they lost in the playoff to Penn State. But outside of those games, Wyoming may have played them tougher than anybody. And had Caden Anderson not been knocked out at halftime, they may well have beaten Boise State. And then the game at Washington, they held Boise to 17 points. That was an explosive offense. And then Washington State, a team at home averaging like 50 points a game, held them to 14 and shut them out in the second half. That's encouraging because you had buy-in from a lot of those guys on defense, and you've got something on tape that shows you, hey, if we listen and do what we're supposed to do, this is what can happen. Hopefully that can carry over. Again, I'm taking a positive spin on this. The first two games of the season are going to be really, really important because we know how difficult the schedule gets after that. You got to go to Akron and win. You got to beat Northern Iowa at home. You got to look good doing it. And let's see what happens after that. But I agree, there is potential, particularly on offense, man. They have got skill guys across the board that I know they're really excited about. It's just about getting them the ball at the right time. You know, there's a lot of excitement. It's going to be an improved football team.
Keith Kelly, play-by-play voice of the Wyoming Cowboys, with us on First Bank of Wyoming Sports Friday. So you mentioned they had the Thursday night kickoff to open the season at Akron. Now, nationwide, Wyoming at Akron is certainly not – it's no marquee matchup, right? But it is Thursday. Everyone's hungry for football. I would expect that there may be some eyeballs on this game. And then you compare that with the way the university is really capitalizing on Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. And this year, partnering with the Buffalo Bills organization for extra sponsorships within to promote Wyoming and the university. What are your thoughts on that? Maybe overall big picture for the football program in Wyoming and what the future may be going.
I mean, they're doing what they can, right? They're utilizing everything at their disposal to try and build the brand, continue to build the brand of Wyoming football. We know that bucking horse and rider, that steamboat, is an iconic image. It is. And I happened to be back in Oklahoma a few weeks ago watching the Bills' first preseason game on NFL Network, right? And I saw University of Wyoming Red Zone. I'm like, holy cow, that's really, really cool. And I know NFL Network takes the local feed, but there's a partnership now. And I can't remember the exact dollar amount that they did, but there is an investment in Western New York, and we know how big of a brand the Buffalo Bills are. I mean, that's a big deal. Somebody actually brought up on my show, on my local show here, that Wyoming and the University of Buffalo – should do a game at the new Bills Stadium once it's done. Ooh. And then it just kept going on and on, like, you know, what do we say? You know, make it a weekend, like a home weekend for the Bills, right? So you have the Wyoming Buffalo game on Saturday, then a home Buffalo Bills game for folks. And then I added, well, why not try and get a meet and greet with Josh Allen as well? So we're trying to just see if that I have no idea if that's even in the works, to be honest with you. That's just somebody that one of our listeners brought up. But that partnership is great. You have to strike while the iron is hot. Josh is going into the UW Athletics Hall of Fame in September. He's not going to be able to be there. How can we get Josh Allen back to Laramie? Well, it's really, really tough. It just is. I mean, when you're the NFL MVP, you have a lot of things going your way. It's just really hard to get him back. Are they trying to do some things? Yes, but I really, really think that the university is doing everything they can to build this brand. But you know what will help even more? Winning 7, 8, 9 games this season would even be better. And again, I don't know if that's going to happen, but winning would actually help that out a lot. Just prove that last year was more of an anomaly as opposed to, you know, what we've been used to seeing, which is that 6 to 8, maybe even 9 wins.
One of the other things I want to talk about, Keith, is, let's be honest, it's going to be kind of awkward. This whole school year, academic, athletic year, with the schools departing for the Pac-2 or the Pac-12, you're going to have some gaps in some of these rivalry games, most notably the border war after this year. You have a 2-year kind of what ifs, what might happen before it resumes. I've been thinking about losing the Bridger rifle since last year, things like that. What are some of your thoughts on this whole thing and how you think it might impact some of the visuals for the conference this year?
I completely dislike the whole notion. Too many egos got involved, particularly at Oregon State. I think that's the biggest culprit, but Washington State thinking that they were bigger than what they actually are. There's a reason why nobody wanted them. They've been living high on the hog with the Pac, the OG Pac-12 money for so long, and it's running dry. By the way, I can't take credit for this, but we call them Pac Stabbers. The Pac Stabbers is what they are. And I can't take credit for it. There's a Wyoming fan on X, Twitter, however you want to call it, that brought it up, and I borrowed it from him. It's actually gaining traction. Mark Ziegler from the San Diego Union Tribune mentioned it in one of his articles. We've talked about it ad nauseum on our show, and Kevin and I will not be referring to them as Pac-12 or whatever. It's the Pac Stabbers all year long.
I'm in.
And yeah, I mean, we got to get this ball rolling. I just really dislike it because I think you could have had a great conference west of the Mississippi River if you would have just done, however you want to call it, reverse merger, or Oregon State, Washington State coming into the Mount West. That would have been a fantastic league. It really, really would have. And it probably would have garnered, if you would add up the TV revenue dollars that the Pac Stabbers in the Mount West are going to get, it probably would have been in that ballpark if you would have combined the two. It just, egos got involved. I dislike it. I love what Gloria Navarez is doing. She's standing firm on, you know, the court case. They feel like they've got a great legal battle in front of them. And I love the additions. I love having UTEP coming in. Hawaii being a full-time member, I mean, you had to do it. Grand Canyon coming in. That immediately is an NCAA tournament basketball team that's coming in. UC Davis is coming in. Northern Illinois for football only. It just adds a central time zone. I really like what Gloria has done. And I think, you know, yeah, did they have some concessions by paying UNLV and Air Force all that money to stay in? Sometimes you got to do those sorts of things. But I think what she's done has been really, really good. And, you know, it stinks about the rivalries. It does. But we'll see CSU again. I think they signed that 8-year deal in a couple of years. So we'll see them again. Would be nice maybe to get something with Utah State. But it is what it is. It's the way college athletics. And look, guys, when we get the inevitable split, when you've got those top 40, 50 teams that are going to split off eventually and have their own league and play for their own championship, we're all going to be back in this same table again playing for the same thing. So, I mean, it just didn't make any sense. It didn't. It was dumb.
Well, Keith, all that aside, we're looking forward to kickoff in Akron coming up August 28th, this upcoming Thursday. So we'll have, of course, you on the airwaves here in Lincoln County in western Wyoming, and we'll see if the Pokes can get that first win on the year.
It's going to be great. Like I said, those first two games are going to be crucial, because then you go Utah, Colorado, and UNLV, boom, San Jose State and Air Force. Those are really tough games, but I appreciate you guys so much and your commitment to Wyoming athletics, and we absolutely love all our fans out there in the Star Valley. Thank you so much.
Keith Kelly, play-by-play voice of the Wyoming Cowboys. It's First Bank of Wyoming Sports Friday on SVI Radio.